You about ready? This is Marty Ford, live on BBSRadio.com, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, coming to you live from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station. I am your original American Idol, I-D-L-E. You don't have to idolize me, but sometimes I lay in idle. So I want to say this before we go any farther or further, whichever word is right. I'm not that good in grammar. Let's have somebody call in and correct me, because we all need correction. Lord knows there's enough experts out there to tell us how to do things that they themselves don't do. But I have to do this. I must do this. No, back up. I want to do this. I just want to say Merry Christmas. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm saying Merry Christmas. And I've been saying Merry Christmas for years. In fact, when it got a little crazy, I think in the late 90s and early 2000s, I would go up to people who I've known for 8, 10, 12 years. Their kids grew up with our kids, doing all the activities in school and sports and things. And I would ask permission. I'd say, listen, do you mind if I say Merry Christmas to you? I mean, I don't want to offend anybody. But you know what? If you have to be so concerned about that, then don't say it, or just say it like I just did. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody. Good health, everybody. We wish you for prosperity, everybody. And just move on with life. Let's not make something out of nothing the way it's spewed at us as it's vomited all over the electronic brainwashing box that we sit in front of for hours and hours and hours listening to this stuff, thinking and believing and saying, wow, it must be real if I hear it all over the place. No, it's not real. It's just time filler and life killer. It doesn't sustain you. It drains you of your energy. It takes your mind out of thinking. And part of the show here, as you know, if you've been listening for the past couple of months, is empowerment. Empowerment. That's you being able to do what you want to do on your terms under positive and healthy conditions, allowing you, permitting you, empowering you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. That's the purpose. That's the mission. Past couple of weeks, we've got into a couple of segments of my book on empowerment and boredom. And I'm always talking about kids and play. I got to start off talking about that tonight, because the kids are home from college. The kids are off from school. And there's not a lot to do after the first or second day when the novelty wears off and they get bored and they get restless and they sit in front of the electronic brainwashing box and they got to do something. And where do you go? Nowhere, because everything is shut down and locked down. Where? The schools. What better time to open a school, make it available to the kids so they can go play, whether they're in elementary, middle, or high school. And if a college has facilities, open that too. Many community colleges have great facilities, gyms and pools and weight rooms and all that. Make it available to the people. Charge them a few bucks if you have to. Get waivers signed if you have to. Keep the lawyers and the insurance companies happy. Hire somebody, volunteer some people to clean up the dirt that might get in there that the janitors might have to clean when they come back. But who cares? Open the buildings. We pay for them, right? It's your money and my money and our money pooled together to create these great underutilized buildings. And the kids are home looking for a place to go, to shoot some ball, to sit quiet, to hang around with their friends, to maybe open the art room or the computer. Well, not the computer room. They don't need that. They got enough of that without it. But let's utilize these places, because they are underutilized. And while you're opening them during the Christmas break, open them in the summer, right? Instead of doing what all the experts tell us to do, you know, the ones who know everything, why don't we just bring back play so the kids can get up, get out, and get going and get off themselves, right? Off their body parts that have them just do nothing. And that's not a good thing. So we're moving along here, and I want to get into how we usually start the show with a little critical thinking, right? And critical thinking is all part of being empowered. Being empowered allows you to do what you want to do, right? with rules, within boundaries and guidelines, but it lets you do that so you're not becoming a Me Too person. Yeah, you're having a bologna sandwich? Yeah, me too. Yeah, you're wearing a blue shirt? Yeah, me too. Yeah, you're going to the mall? Yeah, me too. When you're empowered, you could care less what's going on around the world. You care, but it's not that important as you living your life on your terms, under control, managing your time, being healthy, clean, sober, and alive to the world and yourself. So we start with some critical thinking. Last week's critical thinking was how many outs are in an inning of baseball? How many outs are in an inning of baseball? And the answer, of course, is six. There's three in the top of the inning and three in the bottom of the inning. Right? Once both teams have completed an inning, regardless of how many runs are scored or base runners are on base or not, there are six outs in an inning. This week, we're moving into a little bit more lengthy brain buster. It's a little story that I learned from some kids years ago. And it goes like this. Two kids go for a job interview. They fill out the form, all the paperwork, and during the interview, they're asked some questions. And the interviewer reads the applications and so forth and says, listen, Bill and Mary, I see you have the same last name, the same address, the same parents, the same eye color, hair color, and everything else seems to be the same about you. And are you two twins? And they say, no. We're not twins. Huh? Now, please, kids, think about your answer right now, because honesty is a big part of life and certainly working here. We want you to be honest. We handle money. We're dealing with people. We expect truth and respect and honesty and trustworthiness and so forth. Please listen to me answer this question, ask this question again, and just give me your answer. And be straightforward. Are the two of you twins? And together they say, no, we are not twins. And the interviewer says, well, thank you very much for coming in. We'll call you. We'll get back to you. And you're not going to get the job is what they know that's going to happen. So the kids go home and they tell their parents the sad story. And the parents make an inquiry to the kids. They tell the kids, go back and tell the interviewer the truth, that you're not twins. And if you want to know the answer, come around next week on bbsradio.com, 9 o'clock Eastern time evening for my show, Marty Ford, You About Ready? We're here every Tuesday night doing this stuff, and it's a good thing because somebody's got to do it. Clichés. Oh, let's go to the tidbit of useless information. We have a little segment called Tidbit of Useless Information. You know you have three identifiers on your body? You have, of course, your fingerprints, your toe prints, and do you know the third one? The third one is a wicked, vicious, malicious weapon when not used properly. It is the downfall of many, and it is a downfall to others who are on the receiving end of the bully using this method to keep people down. Because, you know, the bully feels so low about themselves, they want you or somebody else, usually weaker, physically smaller, to feel worse than they do, because they don't want to be at the bottom of the ladder. They want to be under the ladder. They feel so low about themselves, they're going to do anything in their means to get you to feel bad about yourself. So they use their tongue. You have a tongue print as well as finger and footprints. So that's a tidbit of useless information. Be careful of the bullies, how they use it. Clichés. In the past, we've had many clichés. Clichés are today's modern curse words, profanity, waste of time. And all you have to do is look at the electronic brainwashing box and you'll hear them all day. You know, he's got a great future ahead of him. Don't we all? Hopefully, all things being equal. In the past, we've had such great ones as the window of opportunity. Man up. Cut to the chase. Guys, for use for either gender, or any gender, I should say. Critical mass, which is not a religious service. Infused or in flat out, and my favorite current one that, based on the war that's going on, is boots on the ground. You get some good old boy out there from everywhere in the country, but around here or out there, and he's talking about, well, we get boots on the ground. And what's even funnier when you hear boots on the ground is to hear the interviewer, the host of one of these idiotic electronic box brainwashing box shows, use it right back at them. Well, sir, when you say boots on the ground, Do you really mean boots on the ground? What do you mean by boots on the ground? How are boots on the ground? What? They don't even know what they're saying. But again, if you hear it enough, you believe it to be true and gospel and reliable. And it's all crap. Same page, transparency, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day. It's amazing, right? I counted. I was watching the electronic brainwashing box, clicking around several channels, because that's how I get some of the material here. Through various sources, that's one of them. I must have heard the word amazing used within a 3-hour period. Must have heard it 24 times in various settings. It's amazing. You'll be amazed. Step it up, roll it out in going forward. And of course, the best one, not related to poker games you see on TV, is all in. Now, guys, you know you can't get all in when you have to. When you're put on the spot, you have to. There isn't enough blue pills in the world that you can use to get you to get all in. But hopefully you can make connections and do what you have to do to create life. So tonight we're going to add a few more of these curse words that we hear all day. We don't even pay attention to them. We get desensitized. You know, my dad has a great line. You call him up on the phone. He says, "Yo, man, how you doing?" He says, "Lousy." "Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, let me tell you." And people don't even hear. I've heard him use it in person while shaking hands with somebody, meeting them at an event, whether it's business or social or neighbors or something. "How you doing?" "Lousy." And they just, people go on and on. They don't even hear. They don't listen to what you're saying. It's rote. And he does that just to get those reactions. I do it too sometimes, but I'm selective. Pop, especially as he got older, he didn't care. And he still uses it today. One of them we hear a lot is our hearts, prayers, and thoughts go out. We hear that all over. God forbid, when there's a tragedy, an illness, a sickness, an injury, a loss of life, or whatever, our prayers to strangers. Yes, it's a nice gesture, but it's filler. It's cliche. When something is said and said over and over again, "Thank you very much, have a nice day. Thank you very much, have a nice day." It has no meaning. So anyone creative in the world with language that has a little bit of vocabulary, me not included in that group, can go be very successful and go a long way by just coming up with other words to use instead of the cliche. Someone fought tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. If you fought tooth and nail, I don't know how you do that, because if you're trying to bite nails, if you're using your teeth as weapon and your nails and nail fingernails, maybe that's what it is. It's fingernails. So you bite your fingernails and those little jagged razor sharp edges are weapons. So that's how you fight tooth and nail. I just figured it out. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. What are you bringing to the table? Well, if it's not lunch, I don't want to know, because I know your background experience and so forth. Just bring something to the table that's worthwhile that we can share and enjoy and break bread. Utilize. You have to utilize everything. Everything must be utilized. It has to be utilized. Utilized. Like a utensil is utilized. Utilitarian. In a utilitarian way. Utilize. You hear that a lot. And, of course, impact. The only thing that has impact is your tooth. Everything else has an effect on something, might have consequences, might be good, but it has an impact. What will be the impact of something? Usually done in a negative way. Let's look for positive things, positive ways of saying those things. And someone who was hell-bent, I have no idea what hell-bent is. I don't even know. How do you know you're not dreaming now? Now, how do you know you're not sleeping now and this isn't a dream? How do you know we're not in hell and when we go to heaven? And if you're all bent out of shape here, maybe you are hell-bent. And if you look around the world is pretty hell-bent, right? Disease, war, starvation, annihilation, extermination of mass groups of people by bully leaders who couldn't do anything else but bully their way and frighten people, right? Maybe they're hell-bent. Maybe this is hell. And when we go to a better place. I don't know. No one's come back to tell us differently. I'm wondering, what's going to happen? We have another segment we're going to add to tonight. We're going to have our differences segment. This is kind of funny. It happened to me. It might have happened to you. Or maybe it will happen to you. Or you know somebody it happened to. Whatever the case, we've had differences before. The difference between men and women. The difference between offensive and defensive linemen, the difference between a house and a home, of course, the difference between a freedom fighter and a terrorist. And now tonight, we're going to talk about the difference between moving a college student into the dorm, once a girl, One's a boy. When the girls move in, man, they come fully loaded. I mean, SUVs cubically filled, rooftop, everything, trailer on the back. You load it in, they get all the rooms set up, and if you walk the dorm hall, you find they're all the same. They all have their matching quilt and pillowcases and sheets and pictures on the wall. It's set up like a shrine with their stuffed animals and pillows and their carrying case to go to the shower with. It has all their stuff in there. And just a tremendous effort to move a girl into college. And then once you get her all moved in, you have to go to Walmart and drop $300 or $400 or more stuff. And they're sharing a room with one or two other kids. There's not that much space. But you know what? They make it work. They make it work. It's a tremendous testimonial to utilization of space. See, utilize. There it is again. Utilize to make good use out of your space, right? And the girls are tremendous at it, and it's just wonderful to watch it evolve and happen, especially since all I had to do was the lugging. I wouldn't touch anything because I'm going to do it wrong. But I can carry that stuff up 3-4 flights of steps, no elevator, older dorm, great college, wonderful education, great opportunity. I'll tell you what, moving that time and the second year as well was an experience that should be experienced once, until you find the other side of that is when you move a son into college, right? Or a nephew, whoever it is. You move them into college, 3 trash bags, one with shorts, t-shirts, one with sneakers, and one with the Xbox. Everything else doesn't matter. It's all over the place anyway. After a while, the boys and girls equal out there. The stuff is on the floor, towels, shoes, clothes, etc. But the boys are simple. You need a shopping cart. That's all you need to move them in. Whether you could be on the 20th floor with no elevator, one trip and you're done. 3 trash bags loaded with, a few snacks, right? So don't have to leave the room to go to the dining hall. And just Xbox it out. When you get tired of that, put the sneaks, the t-shirt, and the shorts on. Go play some ball, hang outside with the guys, and have some fun. Enjoy life. Be a kid. So that's the difference between girls and boys moving into the college dorm. Because we know the difficult takes some time. The impossible, well, that takes a little longer. We always have words of wisdom on here, points to ponder, to get you through the day and night and any time else in between. I didn't have ball tonight. Why? Because the schools are closed. I told you, it's Christmas. So me and all the guys are sitting around waiting for next Thursday to have a game. Thank goodness there's Sunday soccer this week, so I can get a run in. I did walk 4 or 5 miles today, which is nice, but you still miss that burn, that sweat, that banging of bodies, hanging out with the guys, the energy that's and the yelling and the screaming that could happen sometimes, and making a shot or making a pass or getting a rebound or setting a screen so the other teammate can make a shot. I miss all that, right? And so do all the guys. And they're a lot younger than me. They're kind to the old and feeble, and they let me play even if I don't bring the ball, which is cool. And you know I have my aches and pains, but there's nothing more painful than not playing, right? You play through the pain, because when you win and when you play, especially at my age, when you play, that's a win. But when you win the game, it doesn't hurt as much. When you lose, you start limping and gimping and getting all the liniment out, right? I knew a guy who was so slick. This guy was together. He had something about it. He could go in. You could go in a revolving door. Do they still have those? Maybe they do. They go in to a revolving door. He'll go in behind you, in the compartment behind you. You'll go around to the exit part, and he'll get out ahead of you. Now, that guy was slick. I have only met one or two guys like that. But you gotta know about them, because they can be fun, right? And you have to learn from them. How do I do that, right? That's what successful people do. They hang around with successful people saying, I want to be like that. How do you do that, right? And that's becoming empowered. When you see something that you want to set your eyes on and your sights and your goals and your ambitions, and you go for it. You just, there's a cliche, go for it. Thanks, Stallone. I remember that from Rocky. You just put all your energy and time and into a project, and you just go and you just, wow, you're successful. Because you're focused and you're concentrating and you're motivated. That's what kids with all this ADD manufacturer illnesses, you put it, if whatever the kid is good at, that he loves doing, or she loves doing, whether it's computers or sports or music or art or something, whatever, they could sit in front of their screen or with their guitar for days, not even eat or sleep, right? They feel so good about themselves when they're, and they have no attention deficit or hyperactivity. They're calm, they're cool. And when you take them out of that zone, their comfort level, yeah, they get a little antsy. So why do we try to box them in? Why do we make everybody go through this rote life of elementary school, middle school, high school, preparing to take a test, teaching to the test, tying the hands of teachers, stifling creativity? Why are we doing that? What are we creating? The next generation of druggies, users and abusers, who turn into losers. That's how they feel about themselves. They're certainly not feeling good about themselves, right? Here's a great and simple and effective behavioral tool for kids and most everyone else. Instead of doing what all the experts do, what they tell us will work, until they do a new and improved and updated study that's funded by government money, which is our money, just tell the kids, hey, you know, when there's a problem, maybe behavioral or work production or whatever it is, attitude, you say, you know, hey, man, I respect you. And at times I understand you. But for this one thing right now, I'm disappointed. And that's all you have to say. Kids, most people too, do not like to hear those words. They don't want to hear the word no. No, don't go out with those people. Don't do this. Don't go out with your wet head, all that stuff. Don't stay out past 10 o'clock. Don't go here. We're don'ted. Don't chew with your mouth full. Since birth, we're in the don't mode. Don't watch that. Don't sit too close to the TV. Don't talk while if someone else is talking, blah, 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 blah. We are negatively conditioned from birth, right? Don't put the baby down like that. Put the baby down. Don't hold the baby like that. Don't talk to the baby. Don't do this, right? How many times I did things with our kids and I got the don't all over the place. I used to like to take them airborne. When they were little, they were about the size of a Purdue oven stuffer roaster. And I would put their belly in my palm and secure, and I would pump them up and down and do like lifting weights, like 6 pounds, right? Got my workout, and the kids smile, and they drool on me, and we'd have fun. They'd laugh and giggle. But all the other experts would say, don't do that. You'll do, oh, yeah, I know. I didn't see the research on that. But anyway, when the new and improved and updated study comes out, to tell, just use the simple thing. Forget all that stuff. That's filler, just like you get all the filler all over those shows on the electronic brainwashing box. It crushes the kid, especially if they trust and respect you. They take it to heart. They don't have to like you. They can respect and trust you, and they certainly don't need you to be their friend, just as many parents try to be friends to their kids. You don't have to be that. Don't be friends to your kids. Set up boundaries and guidelines and discipline and consequences, right? Because the parents do it because of guilt. You know, they're working two jobs. They're working from 5 in the morning to 11 at night. They see the kid on the weekends. They have a lot of guilt, right? So they buy him all the stuff and spoil him and think that, that's my friend. No, kids don't need friends. They have their own friends at school, in the neighborhood, on a team, at the park, hopefully if they're playing, right? But when they hear you tell them about your disappointment, they get the message. They feel some shame and embarrassment. And they're disappointed in themselves for disappointing you. And they can recover from that, boom, very quickly. Very quickly. Because you didn't come at them with both barrels loaded. You didn't yell, scream, badger, harass, annoy, frustrate, et cetera, like you do, parents, at the ball field when your kids are playing Little League. You're not doing on that. You're treating them like a mature, responsible person just by saying, I'm disappointed in you. Try it. It'll work. I'm telling you. Simple always works best. Hey, little Johnny Neutron here. We don't do that around here, and I'm disappointed that you would do that. What's going on? What else is happening in your world? When they hear the word disappointment, it's almost like they shut down, and then they get reborn, and it's a good thing. It's like when your computer messes up, you shut it off and reboot it. Because you got boots on the ground out there, the good old boy, driving the United States of America on interstate highways. Well, when you reboot, the thing comes up, it's fresh, it's ready to go. It's a simple solution. You don't have to call the experts at 40, 50, 60 bucks an hour. On and off. Try it with kids, it works. Because kids are resilient. That's one of the power words from the empowerment mode. Anyway, do that. It'll help. The greatest gift, and this is Christmas time, and I said Merry Christmas, and I mean it from my heart and soul, because I am Santa Claus. I've been Santa Claus for 20 years. Haven't done it I think I did it last year, but I didn't do it this year. It's time to give it up and let somebody else do it. But I've been Santa Claus to many social services agencies in our area, did our own fundraising here, not money, got a basement full of stuff down in Bozo's Bar and Grill, loaded, where we built our radio station here on bbsradio.com. Incidentally, if you want to call in and say Merry Christmas to me, I'm very open and accepting. The number is 888-627-6008. 887-627-6008. And if you want to send me an email, the email address is hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. Like I said, the greatest gift you can give somebody, especially at Christmas or any time. In fact, do it any time. Don't wait for Christmas. Christmas is just an excuse to go out and be part of the economic surge out there at this time of year. Do it all the time. Be consistent, a little bit every day. Give somebody your time. When you give someone your time, they turn around and give you the greatest gift you can receive, which is that of appreciation. Say, man, I appreciate you giving me your time. I was so lost yesterday. I was like down in the dumps, whatever happened. You know, I was late for work. I got yelled at. I burned the popcorn in the oven. I just was a mess. The water, I didn't have hot water. Whatever happened, I got it all together. Things were falling apart, and you gave me your time. In fact, you gave me your ears. You gave me your two ears to listen to me. Because you have, like me, you have two ears and one mouth. You listen twice as much as you spoke, and I don't think you said a word yesterday during my ranting and bellowing about the condition. And I appreciate that, and I hope I will do it for you someday. I'll return the favor, and maybe I'll do it for somebody else. But the greatest gift you can give somebody is your time. We all need that. There's not enough of it. There's only, we don't have enough for ourselves. We need somebody to give us their time, which is fine. You don't have to pay somebody $250 an hour. You can listen to us on bbsradio.com. Actually, there's more people than me out on there. There's dozens and dozens of hosts with a variety of shows all out there to help you become a better person, help you accomplish more than you ever thought possible. All you have to do is listen for a little bit, right? And it's a great thing. You can listen, lay down, you can knit, you can draw, you can doodle, you can do whatever you want. You can multitask. Right? That's one of our cliches. Multitasking, as you know, is doing many things at the same time. Unfortunately, none of them well. But when you're listening to people talk with you and to you and not at you, your listening skills go up. You're in tune to them. You're focused. And you can split your time by doing something with your hands, whatever it might be. Not clicking the remote, shutting off the box. You know, even if you shut off the sound, sometimes the words come out there and you end up reading a story and the news and all the other unimportant things in life. So give us a shot on bbsradio.com. There's something called customer service. Now, Target just had a big problem. They jumped right on it. They gave everybody 10% off almost immediately. Who knows what the extent of the damage is out there in cyber world, but at least they're making an effort to retain their customers and give them something. Because when you give, you'll get. And if you get, you should give. It's a two-way street, right? Like talking and listening. Works both ways. Instead of giving you examples of all the bad customer services out there, which we know there is an abundance of that, I'm going to tell you about good customer service, how you manage good customer service, or how you deliver good customer service, right? It's very easy. All you have to do is stick with the basics. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. Please. And thank you. I think this generation, my kids' generation, was raised on Barney. And that's what Barney taught them. Please and thank you. The magic words. My brother and I were paper boys, right? Way back. We started in 1961 with 52 customers, I think it is, or it was, in September 1961. Boom, right as school was starting. My brother's a bit of a hustler, and I followed him in his footpath, his lead. And we built that from September to Christmas. We had built it from, I think, 52 to 74 customers. And we received back then an unprecedented $154 in Christmas tips. Never happened before. The district manager came to the house and wanted to know how we did it. And we just told him the basics. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, no, ma'am. And if they wanted the paper wrapped every day, we wrapped it. If they didn't want it wrapped, we laid it under the mat or put it in the door or stuck it in the mailbox or delivered it the next morning, whatever they wanted. Well, not delivered, but collected. Our collection night was Friday night. We collected Saturday for some people as we were delivering the Saturday paper because they weren't home Friday and they wanted to make sure we got paid. So you make adjustments. You're flexible, right? That's how you service customer. We like the little things in life. We don't need the big grandiose things. We can't even deliver them, but we can deliver simplicity. You know, you always read stories about waiters or waitresses receiving large tip, and for whatever reason, right? And it's a great thing, mainly because customer service. I knew a girl worked in a breakfast and lunch type restaurant. That's all they did, breakfast and lunch. Which is not the big meal of the day where the tip is usually higher. It's supper, dinner. Girl made $1,000 a week. This is 15 years ago in tips because when the mothers dropped the older kids off at school, they would come into her restaurant where she worked and she'd have the high chair set up with the sippy cups and the crayon and the drawing paper and the younger kids would be occupied so the mothers could talk, have a cup of coffee and relate and have some time together. And they always brought the kids' food first, right? And if there was a problem, there was always additional things brought to help the kids. Maybe she told me she used to take some kids, just run them around the room because it wasn't that crowded midday, you know, late breakfast, early lunch. And she would like entertain and give the women some peace and time for themselves. And it paid dividends, big time dividends. So it's always the simple things about customer service, right? Corporations have their managers, middle managers, administrators. They give them training with charts and graphs and statistics and PowerPoints and manuals and DVDs, just like kids who go to head jockeys to deal with anger and conflict and conflict resolution and organization and focus and problem solving and paying attention. And instead of the corporations giving the people, their employees a pill, they give them these very sophisticated, involved, overlapping presentations on customer service when all you have to do is the basics. And the kids in schools, instead of taking a pill to resolve all those issues that they have, so they breed the next generation, as I said before, of users and abusers and sellers. Life lessons, customer service is one of them. Life lessons are learned as a kid by doing what? Being around people, by working, by having responsibility, by having consequences if those responsibilities aren't met, right? Viable, solid, firm consequences. I mean, a little more than a timeout, but an explanation as well as to why something didn't work or why it didn't work out. You tell the people, you teach them. It's a learning experience. You don't yell, scream, badger, harass, annoy, and frustrate. You teach somebody. You give them tools, life tools. And when you're working out there as a kid, that's where you learn this stuff. Just like you learn all those things I just mentioned about conflict resolution and organization and management and problem solving and anger and anger and anger and anger and all that. You learn that on the field of play. And that's what I was talking about before. Kids in play, there's not enough of it, especially at the schools. They give them another class instead of putting them outside for 20 or 30 minutes to let off steam, to burn, to run around, to climb, to jump, to yell, to throw, to scream, to holler, to bounce a ball, to kick a ball, to do whatever, to interact, to socialize, to play silly games, to play good games. I don't know. But get them out of that building, right? Because it's closed at the prime time, Christmas and summer and Easter, spring break, shut down. So give the kids the tools, and they'll grow up responsible, and corporations and businesses don't have to waste money. I can't believe they spend money on customer service, teaching their people about customer service. Hello, how are you? Is there anything I can help you with today? How can I be of service to you? What do you need today? Right? How are you? What's going on? We have this over here. Are you looking for? And just engage people in conversation as to why they're in the store. You can start with the typical usual. Boy, it's cold today out there. Break the ice. Icebreakers. Customer service is nothing more than icebreakers. What? Finding a common ground. What's your name? Where are you from? And what do you like to do? Unfortunately, with that is, it only lasts about 30 seconds because given an opportunity, most people in a group, if they're asked to talk about themselves, would be lost after maybe a minute, minute and a half. Yeah, you know, my name's Fred. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I drive a truck. I live three blocks from Town Hall, and I have two kids. And we just stutter and stammer, and we don't know who we are. And that's because we're not empowered. We certainly don't have critical thinking in our lives because we followed a rote life. We were stifled and stymied for any creativity, freedom of thought, because we had to take a test, right? We had to learn how to take the test. And from the paperboy job that my brother and I did, we expanded. We lived in a neighborhood at that time. We moved from what they have called row houses in the city to single family homes. And with a single family home, you got a lawn, a front yard to cut, right? And so we cut ours. And then we cut the guy across the street and the guy down the road and down the block and up the block and down your alley and all this other stuff. Before you know it, out of about 80 or 90 homes, we had about 45 customers on a regular basis. And when we stopped cutting the grass, we shoveled their snow. Nothing wrong with that. We always had a few bucks in our pocket. Not that we were any better than anybody else, right? Not that we were better than anybody else, but we had a little bit of initiative, a little bit of drive, and an opportunity. And when opportunity comes your way, many opportunities come your way all the time. And you have to pick and choose which ones you want to pursue and go after. And if you don't like it, guess what? You can change them, right? You can change them. Nothing wrong with that. Goodness gracious golly, 'tis the season, and so were you told, the reason to be jolly. So many are sad, feeling blue and downright depressed. You don't have to be like the rest. Don't settle for second best. Put yourself to the test. Thanks, Madonna. Have no room for your doom and gloom. Sweep it away. Be your own broom. Soon you're getting around like when you were a kid on your homemade go-kart going, va, 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 room. So get up, get out, get going. You are all knowing what works for you. Give it a good squeeze and let out a sneeze. Ha, 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 choo! Laugh so hard, your eyes are teary. Your belly muscles hurt and you feel a bit weary. From your mouth, no sound is heard, yet you cannot remember the word that got you started. Laugh so long and hard because at the same time, you belched and farted. This is just 1 hour where you can learn how to become empowered. Join me either before or after you've showered. Let yourself wander into a world unknown. You'll be surprised about how much you have grown. I always start, before I come on the air, I'm always listening to my blue-eyed soul music, right? And if you don't think you don't have some soul, you want to know how to get it, you have to, well, loosen up. You're wound too tight. That's why you're always looking for a fight, anytime, day or night. Let go with a grip. Let one rip. It'll be a trip. You'll flip. Start being you and not a drip. Put some soul in your life. Rid yourself of this strife. You know who had more soul than he could control besides me? Clinton. Clinton had so much soul, he didn't know he was white, right? He was just maybe very light-skinned, right? And he had the soul, and he manifests that through his love and his playing of the saxophone. You could watch him do that, right? You could feel his movement and watch him play. You felt his soul. And he just didn't know he's white. He's just very light-skinned, that's all. But Clinton has soul, and he moves to his own beat, and that's good. You should, too. Once I was lean and mean, working hard to make that green. Older now, lots of aches and pains, so I managed to stay in the game. And hurts and does no good to complain. That would be lame. Won't play the blame game. That would drive me crazy. Won't become lazy. Need to stay focused on the game to keep from going insane. Which, to be kind, is just a state of mind. Remember, being a little crazy is okay. Keeps it from going insane, and it's just a state of mind. Healthcare, ladies and gentlemen. Healthcare world. It's a nightmare. We've been through it on this show many times before. I have the way to do it. It's simple, effective. The infrastructure's there, Medicare, Medicaid. And just let's raise the money. And we do that through the National Lottery, National Healthcare Lottery. It's called To Your Health. We won't elaborate on it. We'll save it for next year when all this goes into effect Well, that hasn't already started. If they get all the glitches, cliche. Actually, glitches and cliches, there's only one difference in letter, isn't it? If I spelled it right in my head. Remember, Sabellis keeps saying she's sorry for all this, and maybe the president has too. But when someone says they're sorry, they're looking for forgiveness. And we know when you forgive somebody, they're going to do it again. Be careful how you dole that stuff out. Even Bob takes the blue pill. Healthcare. You know what? Leaders lead by example. So when all the leaders who are involved in this country, living off of our hard work that we're paying for, right? When they sign up and they become part of the Obamacare healthcare plan, when they do that first and they say, this is how it works for us. This is how we did it. Nice and simple and easy. Look, now you can follow our lead because we are the leaders who you put in charge to provide for you. So we're going to take it. So don't tell people, leaders, to do things that you're not doing yourself. Take the first step, right? Put yourself to the test. Again, thank you, Madonna, right? Have them sign up first, right? Then it could be offered to us common first. Lead by example. After you do that, the rest is easy, right? How many more companies like Target are going to be infiltrated by the bad guys? And they'll, if they follow Target's lead, they'll provide some customer service, maybe give a little discount or a coupon or something like that to keep you coming back and back and regain their trust, right? Once you lose someone's trust, hard to regain it, right? Very hard to regain. The Republicans are looking to increase their minority and diverse voting population. So the easiest way to do that is to what? Get amongst the people. So what do they have to do? They got to lose the suits and the country clubs and the Range Rovers and the private schools and the nannies and the big homes and their attitude and their cockiness and all the barriers they've already established between them and us. And they have to listen to us. They have to talk with us, right? Not at us. They have to listen to us and act accordingly, right? They have to get rid of their incestuous fraternity down there hiding behind government contracts, which you can find on fedbizops.com. It's where all the government contracts are, and see who gets awarded. And if you can follow the paper trail, find out who is owning that company or part of that business, and see that they're, again, unemployed, out of office people who are now become lobbyists, once again, getting back on living off the dole and not Bob Dole. So there's a way to find out how do they do that. But if you want to reconnect with people, first you have to connect with them. If you want to rehabilitate someone, first they have to be habilitated. That's a misnomer in recovery. I'm here to be rehabilitated. Well, if you've never been habilitated, how can you rehabilitate someone? Remember, for those of you in recovery, of whom there are many, you must internalize the fact that you will be in recovery the rest of your life. Once you internalize that, once you grasp that, you're beginning to become empowered. You've accepted that. It's part of your life, your soul, your being, and now everything else is much easier to accomplish. One of the things you have to do for people in recovery and those in prevention, which are the same things, you're doing the same things, those in recovery sort of got off track and got into a world that they never knew existed before and need to pull themselves up and out. They need to get up, get out, and get going. And they need to play. They need to paint their face. They need to ride a bike. They need to swing on a swing and feel the breeze in front of them as the wind blows. They need to climb a tree. They need to be a kid. Never lose that portion of you that is a kid, no matter how old you are. Always have a 1% or 2% that no one can enter, pollute, or violate. That's you being you. That's you laughing, singing, dancing like I do before the show goes on. I'm moving down here. Nobody sees me. I don't want anybody to see me because what? That'll put up barriers. Oh, I shouldn't do that. No, man, I'm here. I'm doing it. You can do it too. You can become empowered. Whatever it takes. Step out of the shower and still sing. Feel good about yourself. And then you'll make someone else feel good about themselves. So we want to have tools. You need tools, right? It's not the tool, though. It's the mechanic. I can give you all the tools in the world. If you don't know how to use them or want to use them or have no desire, ambition, drive, motivation, inspiration, or anything else, you're not going to use them. And you're going to revert to sitting in your chair in front of the electronic brainwashing box doing nothing, slugging it out, stuffing your face to become obese, nasty, and foul. because you're listening to people and information that is completely useless to you, has no meaning or no bearing on your life, right? To fight boredom. Last week, we talked about art. This week, we're going to talk about music. Now remember, like art and music, what I know about these two would echo in a thimble. But I am trying to overcome an obstacle. I'm trying to fight my way through it. And my New Year's resolution, which of course will be broken like everybody else's, this year, musically, I want to be able to play the radio. I'm going for AM first, maybe FM, and with the other one, if shortwave is out there, I don't know if that's out there. But I'm going to try to learn how to play the radio. There's so many buttons, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to learn. Some of the things you can do musically, right? Very simple. And you can play the spoons. I saw people on YouTube teaching people how to play the spoons. And you know what? In a few minutes, you can do it. Not like the Rubik's Cube, which takes longer. But think of the instruments that are out there. Some are very difficult and complex and expensive. Others are not. But if you have any inclination, any desire to try to step out of yourself, to go outside of the box, right? To learn and explore and try something, even though it might not be what you want. There's the flute and the saxophone and the piano and the recorder and the guitar and the conga drums and the sitar and the spoons and the harpsichord and the harmonica and the tambourine and the triangle and the bells and the mandolin and the oboe and the piccolo and the drums and the violin and the viola and the French horn, the clarinet, the trumpet, the ukulele, the cymbals, the tuba, the bass, right? Are there any more that we have? Oh, you, let's see. You better believe it. The cello, the zither, the harp, the fiddle, the xylophone, the accordion, the bagpipe, the banjo, the mandolin, the lute, the bongo, the whistle, the ocarina, which is really cool. A lot of South American people I've seen in Hispanic neighborhoods play it on the street corner. It's really a cool thing. I can't do it. I'd love to do the harmonica. Why? Because you can just put it in your pocket and go anywhere and be entertaining to yourself and to others. So you have the ocarina, the dulcimer, the bassoon, the timpani, the organ, the trombone, the chauffeur, the castanets, the taiko drums, the big taiko drums, right? Those are giant, the Japanese Asian drums. The drumsticks are as big as your leg. And I've seen this in person a couple of times, and it is wild. I want to learn how to do it. That I think I can do it. All you have to do is take this thing and pound this gigantic drum, the skin of the drum. It's as big as a room in your house. It's wonderful. And the sound of it. Look, go on YouTube and type in taiko, T-A-I-K-O. Taiko in Japanese means big drums, and that's what they are. There's probably many more instruments I haven't listed, mainly because I'm not sure what they are. I barely know what those listed above are, but I have heard many of them played and can tell you firsthand that when played individually or collectively, music provides the most needed and necessary component of our existence. It is soothing, comforting, calming, exciting, relaxing, sensitive, and rewarding for the musician and the listener. Most of us listen. Remember to thank the artist for letting you visit the place where they live as you listen or see their art. Though I am not blessed with musical ability, as I have noted before, I'm lucky to have been raised in a home where music was a constant part of our lives. The radio was always on. Mom was playing her piano, which, by the way, she plays by ear. She uses her fingers, but if you call her right now, it's a little late, probably bedtime there, as it is for me soon, and hum a song over the phone, within a few minutes she'll play it, and she won't play it the same way twice in a row. If she plays Mary Had a Little Lamb 10 times, she'll add a little twist and turn and pizzazz and groove to it, and each one is unique unto itself. The way she plays the piano is like fingerprints, or toe prints, or tongue prints, or whatever we have. So it's great to have that. I wasn't blessed with that, but I am blessed with an ear for appreciation of music. There it is again. Show your appreciation to someone or something. People are walking around with these earbuds and headphones all over. I think to listen to music, to keep them in their zone, but also to blot out all the crap that's out there as interference and distractions. That's what they do, right? So the word appreciation. I knew I was going to marry my wife because her favorite song, when she teaches piano to young kids after school, she plays Beethoven's Fur Elise. And I knew when I first met her I was going to marry her, because my favorite song, not knowing anything about music, is Fjord Elise. So there was a common ground there, a bond. It's wonderful. So what are you waiting for? An invitation? Take some initiative. Get out there. Let it be known that you can make music. Spread the beauty of your sound. Have your voice heard through some music. And again, thank the musician for letting you visit the place where they live. It's a wonderful feeling. I'm going to go to empowerment now. A little segment on empowerment. We started with, what is it you want to do? Right? It's a short book, Power Up Your Power. It's mine. I wrote it, as I did Boredom. Things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. That's what we have going here. So part of empowerment is, what is it that you want to do? And we talked about you coming first and others next. Remember, when the mask comes down in the airplane, put yours on first and then attend to those with you, especially the kids. Don't put theirs on first. You might not be around to do it, especially if you have three or four kids. They'll survive, as will you. Then we went over to, who are you? What roles do you play? R-O-L-E-S. Not how many rolls you have coming off your body, because you go to the big box store and buy 5 pounds of potato salad and 10 quarts of ice cream and eat it all before it goes bad, because you don't want to waste money or food. And then you end up having to buy bigger clothes and more of them, and the cycle continues. So who are you? The roles, R-O-L-E-S. Tonight we're going to continue with your center. Your center is the place from where you start, leave, and return. It's your home base. Picture a bicycle wheel with spokes. The beginning is at the center point. It connects at the wheel, forming a continuous line revolving in constant motion once energy is applied. Sounds kind of scientific, but the center part is called the hub. And the spokes come off of that. And the spokes are things you do in your life. Imagine a wedding reception as you enter the room and approach your table. The first thing you notice about the table after you claim your seat is the centerpiece. The centerpiece. It's in the middle. Oh, what a beautiful arrangement. Who did the flowers? I wonder if I can take it home. Maybe I'll stay late. From the centerpiece radiates the silverware, crystal glasses, napkins, china, dishes, tablecloths, and food. With the centerpiece in place, the entire table takes on dimension, identity, and character. That is what you want your center. That is what your center will do for you once it is defined and you work at it. Until the ball is delivered to the quarterback by the center, the play will not begin. There was no motion by anyone until the center initiates the play. It all begins in the center. And the center in football is in the middle. The center in basketball used to be called the center. Now it's called the five. Everything revolved around that person. But now the game has changed, which is okay. The pitcher is the center point. It all starts with the pitcher delivering the ball. So since the best explanation is an example, I offer my center as a sample. An example sample. First, you got to have your health. If you are in shape physically, emotionally, biologically, and spiritually, you have a head start. If not, then get in shape. And it doesn't take much. You got to take a walk every day, once a day, twice a day, 30 minutes at a pop. It's very inexpensive. No clubs, pills, powders, potions, DVDs, medicines, whatever it is. You can eat a normal diet, not stuffing your face all the time. Find out what works for you. Right? If you have to cut out sugars and sweets, cut them out or cut them down. Deprivation destroys. So don't deprive yourself. If you're a sugar type person, once a week or so, twice a week, like a Wednesday and a Sunday, have a candy bar, a scoop of ice cream, a piece of cake. Not every day, at every meal. If you're a carb person, cut back on the carbs. Beer's loaded with carbs. Bread's loaded with carbs. Find good stuff, whole grain products, but cut back on them. You know, I started doing that. I eat rice cakes instead of bread now. They're light, and I put a little peanut butter and jelly on it, not slabbing it on, just a quick lather like a shave. It's satisfying and filling, and I'm good with it. So I don't miss it now that I don't have it. Unlike usually you don't miss something till you don't have it, right? Like your health. So you want to be in good shape. You want to get in shape. Take a walk once or twice a day. Get a decent pair of sneakers. Some sweat clothes, longs, and long shirt, long pants, a jacket, a hat, gloves, a scarf, whatever you need if it's wintertime near you. If you're lucky and live in a warm climate, pair of shorts and a t-shirt, sneakers and socks, bottle of water, that's all you need. Stay hydrated. Stay hydrated when your lips feel like they're dry and sticking together, it's like too late, man. So start drinking and keep drinking and find a place to relieve yourself along the way, as long as it's legal and appropriate and you're allowed to do it. If not, hold it in till you get home. So when your head, heart, and belly function as one unit, you have the ingredients to achieve anything you desire. When the big three are fragmented, you lose focus and success is more difficult to achieve. You have a computer. You got a keyboard, a mouse, a hard drive, a printer, and a rectangular brainwashing electronic box, right? You have that, the screen, the monitor, I guess it's called. And if anyone is out of sync, it doesn't work. So what do? Reboot, reconnect, start it all over again. So you got to get up, get out, and get going. Become active. Get yourself in shape. Go to the doctor. Tell them what you want to do. Have a physical. Get your numbers checked, all of them, and figure out a plan that works for you, right? Because everyone's different. When you watch those things on TV, none of them are going to work for you because you're being badgered and harassed and annoyed by sales and marketing and pitch people who are scripted to tell you all that stuff. Just follow this. Just do this. Just take that. Doesn't work. How many exercise pieces of equipment are in someone's house right now used as towel racks or clothing racks? Just dump all your stuff on it. Doesn't get used. You got to get out of the house. You know, exercise is good. Running in place, hula hoop, jump rope if you have a big enough room. That's fine for when the weather is too bad outside. But if it's that bad, go to a health club. I think some of them are $10 a month if you can find one near you. Go to your high school. Well, the schools are closed to the public because you can't use a room like that, God forbid, even though you pay for it. But usually they have a track. Walk around the track. It's a quarter mile track. Four times is a mile. Eight times is 2 miles. Should take you a half hour. What is that? How many half hours do you spend in front of the electronic brainwashing box doing nothing but listening to stuff that's brainwashing you, keeping you from doing what you want to do, and what you need to do is become empowered. You're not critically thinking when you're doing that. You're thinking nowhere. You're not thinking. You're letting someone else have control. You take control. Say, I'll be back, electronic brainwashing box. I'll be back in an hour. I'm going for a walk. I'm going for a run. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going for a swim. Swimming is fantastic. I can't do it because my legs are anchors. I'll sink right down. But to do something to get your health back in shape, whatever it is, you need to do that. You don't have to go back to being in high school. Right? That's kind of hard for anybody. But the reality is you don't have to be overweight, obese, out of shape, and just a ball of flab sitting in a chair for hour upon hour upon hour being brainwashed by the electronic brainwashing box, right? So get up, get out, and get going. If you don't want to do it by yourself, there's people out there. There's groups all over. One of the guys from Sunday Morning Soccer, which is an international flavor, as I mentioned before, guys from all over the world play, moved to Chicago. And he came back to visit a few times when we played. He said, did you find a game? He said, man, I went online. I found 3 games the first 2 weeks I was there. Now I'm picking and choosing whichever one is the best as far as time, location, cost, etc. And where we play, it's outdoors, so there's no cost. But a lot of guys who are good players like to play more competitive people or year-round, so they play indoors in leagues. I never liked indoor soccer because you have walls. Soccer is not supposed to have walls. But it's a good way to stay in shape, hang out with the guys, feel the camaraderie, and get a good burn and sweat. So that's what you want to do for your health. You want to get up, get out, get going. It's about play, about being a kid. These guys I'm with, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I'm one of the only 60s. I think there's another guy at soccer who's 60. And they're just doing it for the fun, for the exercise, to get out of the house. They get their day started early. Most of them have been to the grocery store with the groceries in the car. Then they go play. Then they go home. They got nothing but family time, especially on the weekends. And family is our next category about your center. It's one of the spokes from the hub. Family is a source of strength for all societies and cultures. It's a foundation from where you build your future and support system on which you can rely and depend upon for guidance, inspiration, and direction. Family can be biological, spiritual, situational, or any of 1,000 possibilities. When I was overseas, the guys were my family. We were surviving together. We depended on each other. We relied on each other. Now you hear that in sports all over. You have to trust your teammates. They are your family. Well, it's your business, but if you want to accept it as your family, that's fine too. And I really can't stand people on the electronic brainwashing box, especially those who are all talking at the same time with four or five talking heads out there. It's just like family. No, nothing is like family except family. Nothing can be like family but family. It can be singular or plural. It can be geographically convenient or distant. It can be where whatever you define or create it to be. That's part of spirituality, not religion. Religion has its definitive guidelines and rules and all the other things. Spirituality, you define it. You create it. You build it for yourself. It can be whatever you define or create it to be. Regardless of what it is, your family gives you roots, heritage, identity, and purpose. You can do anything you want in life, achieve your goals, conquer your ambitions, overcome obstacles, fulfill your dreams when you realize, understand, and respect the fact that you can do it much more easily with your family, not only behind you, alongside of you. Because up to now, they've led you and they guided you, motivated and inspired you. They're going to continue to do that things. But then family is going to step back and watch you go and grow. That's what family does. That's how you do it. That's how simple it is. Unfortunately, we have too many fractured families out there. Kids without the support, because for many, many more reasons than we have time to talk about here. I've seen it firsthand the past 20 years. Just fractured families. Almost hopeless. But there's always that ray of hope out there. There's always opportunity. There's always a breaking of the cycle that someone with a little ambition, a little bit of spirit, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of nurturing, and a little bit of positive, healthy role modeling can overcome anything. I've seen it happen. Even the person who goes it alone has scores of people behind the scene making it all possible. Madonna comes to town, one woman show, or Lady Gaga, any of them. Bono, well, he has his group. But anyway, they're all, well, they're two named people. Anyway, Madonna used to come to town. They'd be advertised, one-woman show. Are you kidding? There's 500 people or more putting it all together, making it happen, down to the toilet paper in the bathroom that has to be the right color. So it's not a one-person show. One person leads, but there's dancers and singers and musicians and producers and directors and lighting people, sound people, electronic people, the setup people, all, more people than I know. People who make arrangements for the bus and the hotels and the airplanes and all food and makeup and costume. It's not a one-woman show, one-person show. You cannot do it by yourself. You can. And that's the people in recovery make a mistake. They think and they want to do it on their own, but you cannot. People in prevention know that they can't do it by themselves, and that's why they have that support system that usually starts with family. Nothing can take the place of family. Who else but family would tolerate the things you do and be the first in line to offer congratulations when you succeed? Anybody can be with you when times are good. They used to call it fair weather fans in baseball, right? Oh, the team is winning. Yay, yay, yay. Good, good. We love them. As soon as they start losing, them bums. They're no good. They'll never be anything. Need a new manager. Get rid of this guy. Right? The hostility starts. The anger starts. The frustration because your team is losing. What connection you have to that team is beyond me. So you don't have a life, so your whole world revolves around a team or a player or something. Get a life. Get on. Appreciate the sport, the competition for what it is, but have your own life. Make your own family. Have your own family, right? But someone who is nurturing to you is there to support you when you're down, will listen to you when you have concerns or problems or issues, and they're the first ones in line to offer a hug, to give you a kiss, to shake your hand, to give you a tap, a pound, whatever you want to call it. That's what they're there for. That's what they do. They struggle with you. They go along with the things you want to do. They support you. That's what family is. It's nothing special. It's been around since the beginning, whenever that was, right? I guess Adam and Eve were family, right? They're the only two without belly buttons, I guess. But at least they had each other for whatever they did in creating the rest of the world, if you believe in those stories. And they're all good stories. Christmas is a good story. All the religious holidays are good stories. But what are you doing for yourself? Perpetuating myth? Teaching values through stories? Nothing wrong with that. Teaching importance? Teaching about family? right? That's what it's all about. That's the hidden message behind religion, even though it's a money-making organization. And without it, the money, you can't have it, right, in most cases. But let's look at it. Strength comes from association, affiliation, and most importantly, through family. So those are two things we're going to start with. There's many more, maybe about 8 or 10 more, that we'll go over in subsequent weeks. Health and family, to empower you, right? To empower you. Spend the money like it's your own, right? Spend the money. When you're entrusted, when you violate trust, you are lower than whale dung in the ocean. I don't care if you're the treasurer of the Little League and you embezzle $50. You can't be trusted anymore. So if our leadership down in Washington, D.C., and I just figured out what the D.C. stands for. I don't know what the District of Columbia is. There's no Columbia around there. I think the closest one is South Carolina. And the space shuttle is down in Florida or Texas somewhere, the Columbia, right? So I don't know where the District of Columbia came out of Washington. I'm sure Wiki has an answer, and I'll look at it. And if you want to call me up here at bbsradio.com, 888-627-6008. If you want to send me an email on the definition of where it came from, the history of District of Columbia. But the D.C. really means deceit and cheat, because that's what goes on down there. Not only did Mandela's funeral create a chaotic, potentially disastrous situation by having that whacked out guy out there with all his baggage and history and frustrations and negative lifestyle and not having a birthday party, which is the root cause analysis of all the people complaining about their suffering and misery today. Not only was he a threat, because the president was standing right next to him, I believe, as were other important people. I think Clinton was there too, right? I'll check the list and see if he was there. But there was something out about the State Department spending $11.5 million on the president's trip to the Mandela ceremonies out there in his hometown. And that didn't include the cost of Air Force One. $11.5 million for air, you know, flying people over and hotels and rooms and food and transportation and all these contracts were signed. $11.5 million, and I don't think they were there 24 hours. Maybe they were. I don't know. But Bush was there, him and his wife, both Clintons and the daughter, President Carter, National Security Advisor Rice, Attorney General Holder, Press Secretary Carney, Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, Obama Advisor Jarrett, and the First Lady's Chief of Staff was there, right? And there's many more things that detail what went on over there. But we paid for that. Why did we have to pay for that? Yes, it was sad that it occurred, but did that many people have to go? I could see the president going, maybe one or two of the former presidents. But is it really a family trip that you need to make if you're only there for a couple of days with your spouse? Well, what? But $11.5 million. Now, later on, I'm sure we'll find out where the receipts went for $44 shrimp and $5,000 call girls like Spitzer had. And Spitzer's getting divorced, by the way, I heard. It took time, but I guess they finally decided that they can't afford each other and or he needs to spend his money in more entertaining ways. That's got to be a shot to her, too. I mean, come on. 5,000? Jeez. That's a lot. But $11.5 million for the presidential party of a dozen or so travelers to go to Nelson Mandela's funeral. Seems a bit much, right? But it's our money. Just like it's our money that's keeping them down. Or keeping everyone employed down there, is what I mean. Deceit and cheat. And how much money went into pockets on expense accounts that get inflated? Where's the paper trail? Where's the honesty, right? If you're losing trust, if you're lying, cheating, stealing, and deceiving the people that who pay you to do jobs that I don't know what we need that many people doing before anyway, then you're lower than whale dung in the ocean. And that's not a good thing, right? And there's many more examples of waste that we can talk about. Senator Proxmire, years ago, had his Golden Fleece Award, and he would announce periodically government waste. That's when the $500 toilet seat stories would come out, and things like that, the hammer and everything else. So we talked about a lot of things today, which is good. I want to talk about a few more things, or if we have time, all I have to do is find it, right? I want to, insurance. We're talking about health care insurance and all that. And maybe we can end on this. I don't know. Why? We know it costs. We know it costs a lot of money, which is fine. But why does it, what is the difference between health care insurance and dental insurance? I've been to the dentist. I've been to several dentists. Because you have to, when you have a new policy, you have to go where the dentist in network is. So you take full advantage of the money that you're paying. But whenever I go, there's no copay. It's different. I don't know why medical insurance is different than dental insurance. Why does a dentist not need a copay? Is he inflating his prices on the other end for his services that much that he doesn't need the 15 or 25 or whatever the copay is? Why is there differences? You know, we talked about differences before. Tonight was the difference between moving a boy and a girl into college. If someone can explain to me why medical insurance and dental insurance are two different entities, right? And I think maybe vision insurance. Do they have vision insurance? I don't know. I heard of optical insurance or coverage. But why medical and dental have to be two separate things? Why can't it all be one? Why can't it be uniformed, right? Why can't we utilize, there's our cliche, the best of all possible worlds for our insurance needs, right? Oh, yes. That's the point to ponder. It'll make you wander and wonder at what's going on in this world because we always don't know the truth. I'd like to talk about veterans before we go. All vets are mentally ill and government should prevent them from owning firearms. That's a quote from Dianne Feinstein, who I think is from California out there. And her husband has created an investment firm, and it's part owner of a construction company. And they win bids to build high-speed rail track that will connect certain sections of California. And it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's a range. You know, it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars between 124 and 373. After it's built, it's going to lose that much money. That's what it says. It's going to lose that much money, right? They bid $985 million, which comes to $35 million per mile. That was the low bid. And no one's asking any questions how he was awarded that, right? Is it because maybe his wife is connected and they're planning their retirement through that company that was set up and maybe a lot of other former politicians who are not in office but are still part of that incestuous fraternity out there or everywhere? Need to track that down, right? And see what's going on. Anyway, all vets are mentally ill and government should prevent them from owning firearms. Why just vets? There's a lot of, you know, it's the mentally ill people we have to get off the street. We know who they are, most of them, because they're under some kind of care. We have to sort of breach confidentiality because if they pose a danger to somebody or society, they got to be removed. We got to let the people in jail on weed charges, you know, possession, small amount, medium amount, large, doesn't matter. Let them out because they're harmless. We got to put the psychos and the wackos away because they're the reason we can't send our kids out. They're the reason that people are stuck in their home, afraid to go out, social phobia, whatever it is, because the bad guys are out there, and it's sad. So if we empty out the cells of the weed people and put the psychos in there, the world will be a better place. And maybe some vets should be in there too. Not all, right? They're not all shooting up from a tower like the cop shows gave us after Vietnam. We're not all veterans of sniper attacks, random shootings and all. And I think it's 67 senators related to that for veterans voted to cut pensions of the U.S. military. Now, that's a couple days ago. I'm sure more news has come out. Probably after the first of the year, they'll make some miraculous 11th hour change of heart on that. But 67. Now, senators, there's 100. So that's a two-thirds vote. Is that what they need to pass it? To cut veterans? When did they take a pay cut? We're paying for their health insurance, their salaries, their pensions, their $11 million to travel over to Mandela's funeral and everything else. The shrimp out in Vegas, the call girls all over the place in South America, right? What are we doing for them? We're not doing anything for the vets. We're going to cut them. I'll tell you, all the 67 list on here, guarantee you, out of 67, maybe one or two served in the military. Maybe. That's a long shot. And I don't know the history of all these folks. But they come from, and regardless of Democrat or Republican, they're the ones that keep the barrier between them and us. You know, the Republicans want to break the barrier and get more diverse voting. This is not how you do it. This is not doing things with and for the people. This is things you're doing to the people. Cutting the pension of our veterans. The ones who lay it on the line every day for us to be able to do what we do. And we want to cut them. By the way, if you want to do something for veterans, if you know a veteran, have them do it. If you want to give a good Christmas present or anytime present, go online, www.connectwithveterans.com. What is that? That is my website. And what is it for? It's for veterans to sign up and register. Name, address, phone number, years of service, what branch you were in, where you were stationed, at what time, you know, what years you were at, what base, location, nicknames, hobbies, whatever you want to put in there, information about yourself, because we need to connect the veterans. They are, you know, the reason they might have mental illness is because there's no help for them. They tried to, you know, post-traumatic is rampant out there. Loneliness, sadness, hopelessness is out there because they're coming home. It's hard to take a combat veteran or any veteran in that kind of position overseas away from home and family and love and nurturing and support and then bring them back and expect them to go work flipping burgers or at a store or laying floors or driving a truck. It's a hard adjustment. We don't do anything with them and for them to help them make that. But the best medicine is not a group therapy, which is not run by good people. Now, they're good people, but they don't know what they're doing. They're just doing it to fill out a chart. No disrespect out there. And the medicine doesn't work because it makes them feel like crap, and they don't like feeling like crap, so they stop taking the medicine. So the cycle continues. What they need is to be with their buddies, whether online, on the phone, in the text message, in the Skype, whatever, in person. And what my website wants to do is to sign up as many, many thousands and thousands of vets together. Why? Because it's vet helping vet help themselves. Because there's a $25 registration fee for the website. Yes, I'm not a nonprofit. I wasn't a nonprofit at Santa Claus, and many, many hundreds of people were happy with what I did. I have letters to prove it somewhere in the files down here in Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station, in the basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station. So we sign them up, $25 registration fee, $10 annual renewal fee, helps pay for the cost of the website and any expenses related to that, not big expenses. It's not like the Wounded Warrior Project, which is thrust in our face, probably started by some former politicians who put a figurehead in there making $300,000 a year because he's a vet and they're behind the scenes getting all the money. I don't know what they're, and they're giving some away, but it's probably like a lot of the nonprofits out there who take in a lot of money. There was something recently about the Salvation Army and what they do. I don't want to go into that. I don't care what they do. I'm telling you what I want to do. I want to get vets registering for $25 and $10 renewal. And I'm not selling Vegematics on Home Shopping Network. I'm giving the money back to deserving vets because not all need it, but those who do need support. And what better support to get than from a vet, one of our own kind, one who's walked in our shoes, one who's struggled with things that we've all struggled with, one who shares the common ground of serving our country. We don't need parades. We don't need homecoming onion scenes on TV every day with the guy coming home or the woman coming home and hugging their kids at school. They walk in on them. The big one this week was the dad came home. Wonderful story. His son was playing football. Beautiful, beautiful. But, you know, that's become cliche. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Boots on the ground. Ramp it up, amp it up, and so forth. It's become cliche. It's time to do something with and for our veterans, something substantial. Not a lot of money for any one person to contribute, to register, to sign up, because that money is going back into the pool of people who need it the most. And if you don't think, if you think $25 a year to initial sign up and $10 a year is a lot of money to renew it, go buy a pack of cigarettes, go have a beer at a restaurant, go get, buy a bottle of water at the airport. See how much that costs, or a concert, or anywhere but the place you get it, a case for $3 or $4, right? So we're gouged all over the place. This is money that's going to be given directly to veterans. And it'll be easy to find them. You read about everybody, you read about many people needing help all the time. Why not help the people who allow us, permit us, fight for us, die for us, so that we can do the things that we do in relative safety, because we can't protect 100%, right? So let's do something for the vets. It's not going to happen through Washington, D.C. It's not going to happen through corporations, because they all follow the lead, that same incestuous fraternity of deceit and cheat. So let's do it independently. When you're empowered, you do things independently. When you have critical thinking on in your life, you do things independently. When you know how to fight boredom, when you know how to play, when you can respect being a kid and be a kid yourself, when you can put the total package together, as we are beginning to learn through Power Up Your Power, my book on empowerment, which we're only through about 5 pages of the 30-page content. Not that big a book, because it's not that difficult to do. I told you, simple works best. But let's do it for our vets. They deserve something more than what they're getting, because apparently it's not working. This is Marty Ford. The show is You About Ready, live Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com. If you want to listen to previous shows, www.bbsradio.com/You About Ready. Power up your power. The power is in you.